Thank you for joining us today. Let's look at John chapter 17, verses 6 through 8, how to receive eternal life. You can find this study on abideinchrist.com, 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 and go to sermons and Bible studies and click on John chapter 17, verses 6 through 8, how to receive eternal life. In his great high priestly prayer, Jesus said, "And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." John chapter 17, verse 3. And then Jesus began praying for his disciples. In verse 6, Jesus gave a sequence of events that takes place in the experience of everyone who comes to him for salvation. Eternal life is to enter into the intimacy of heart, mind, and soul in true love with God. To know Him is to have an intimate personal love relationship with Him. It's impossible to have such a fellowship with God without Jesus Christ. To know God in Jesus Christ is to be in the most intimate personal fellowship with Him. The foundation and basis of such knowledge of God is the atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Eternal life is God's quality of life. William Barclay said, "To possess it is to enter into it and to experience here and now something of the splendor and majesty and joy and peace and holiness which are characteristic of the life of God." Eternal life is God's kind of life, and it begins with us when we are born again, are born spiritually through regeneration by the Holy Spirit of God. We who were dead in trespasses and sins have been made alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised up with Him, and seated with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 5 and 6. Eternal life, then, consists in the knowledge of God, mediated and revealed through the Revealer whom God has sent, Jesus Christ. The knowledge of the Revealer is one with the knowledge of the God who is revealed, and therefore impossible to know one without the other. To know the Son is to know the Father through the mystery of the personal relationship of divine love with Him. Faith in Jesus Christ is the condition of receiving eternal life. Jesus said in John chapter 6, verse 40, "For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in Him will have eternal life, and I myself will raise him up on the last day." The disciples belonged to the Father. Jesus prayed to the Father, "I have manifested your name to the men whom you gave to me out of the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word." Jesus acknowledged to the Father the disciples were yours. They were the Father's unique possession. His prayer is echoed in the words of the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. "And just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before Him." All believers are God's possession. We belong to God the Father, and He can do with us whatever He likes, regardless of what we think. He is sovereign over His universe. He made it, and He can do with it as He pleases. Man is not sovereign over the creation. The Creator is. It is His possession, and we are only stewards of it. It was His plan to give His elect to the Son, and through the preaching of the gospel, the Holy Spirit opens our hearts to receive Him. Modern man is not the center of the universe. The Lord God is. Everything centers in Him. Jesus reveals to us that the disciples originally belonged to the Father. They were yours, Jesus says. and they belonged to the Father. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and that was the sovereign choice. Newman and Nida write, "They belong to you, and you gave them to me," simply expands the thoughts of the previous statement, "Those you gave me out of the world." And then they add, "The disciples who remained in the world were not in the sense of the world." This is from the Translation Handbook on John. Their disposition has changed. They no longer bought into the world's system, which is opposed to the Lord God. God made a choice in His election of a holy people whom He set apart for Himself. They were of His own choosing. Jesus acknowledges this in His prayer. They belong to the Father, the Father gave them to the Son, and they have kept His word. His prayer reminds us of Romans chapter 8, verses 29 through 30. "Those chosen ones are those you gave me out of the world." And God chose us for His great purpose and possession. C.K. Barrett observes, "The disciples belonged to God from the beginning, because from the beginning He had predestined them as His children." In this passage of Scripture, there is security for the believer. And this truth from God's Word should give every true believer great assurance of eternal life, chosen of God, not by the will of man, or heredity, or His own choosing, according to John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. God did it. God chose you. How do I know that to be true? The next three events prove it. The Holy Spirit applied the truth of Jesus Christ to my heart, and I believed. Our salvation is not haphazard. It's no whim of the moment. It is a miracle of God, just like the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The old Puritan reformer Thomas Manton said, "Your eternal election will be known by your interest in Christ, and your interest in Christ by the regeneration in the Spirit. All God's flock are put in Christ's hands, and He leaves them in the care of the Spirit." 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2 explains this. Have you ever stopped and poured your heart out to the Lord God in thanksgiving for His saving grace and the wonderful fact that He chose you for eternal life? There's nothing so exciting than a grateful heart in utter praise to the great Savior. In this passage of Scripture, we also see the Father gave the disciples to the Son. "I have manifest your name to the men whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word," Jesus said. "They were yours, and you gave them to me. And these are the men whom you gave me out of the world." By a sovereign act, God the Father gave the believers to Jesus Christ. God the Father gave His elect to His Son, and they also became His possession. Not only do we belong to the Father, but we also belong to the Son. This is double security. Speaking of the believers, Jesus said, "I give eternal life to them, and they shall never," double negative, meaning not perish, never, "and no one shall snatch them out of my hand. And no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one." John chapter 10, verses 28 through 30. In John chapter 17, verse 2, Jesus already said, "To all whom you have given Him the Son, He may give eternal life." And Jesus used the third person in this verse, referring to Himself. He is saying, "You gave them to me, and I will give them eternal life." Believers are the Father's love gift to the Son. The idea dominates the entire prayer. The sum total of all believers are those the Father has given to Jesus. Alfred Plummer says, and sometimes the Father is said to give or draw men to Christ, as in verse 24 and chapter 6 and 10 and 18. Sometimes Christ is said to choose them. There's the wooing of the Holy Spirit, bringing the elect to repentance and faith. I'm convinced that there's not going to be any of the elect missing in heaven. Those who believe on Jesus were given to him by the Father and would remain with him forever in glory. This is the main thrust of his high priestly prayer before he goes to the cross to die for them. Jesus knew from the beginning that they had been given to him, and this was steadily before him as he neared the cross. Jesus said earlier in his ministry, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day." John chapter 6, verse 44. Jesus conducted his ministry looking for those whom the Father had given him and expecting them to come to him. He was always looking about him, watching to see where God the Father was at work. He was working with the Father in what he was doing. God is at work all about us. We know he's at work when we see people coming to him for salvation. Our responsibility is to faithfully preach the gospel and invite all to put their trust in his saving grace. The Holy Spirit works in the heart to cause them to believe on Christ. And just like Christ did not give up on the eternal purpose of God, neither should we. It is our responsibility to be faithful and to share his word to a lost world. Those who come are God's gift to the Son. They're trophies of his grace. God the Father has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and blameless before him. It was the kind intention of his will and to the praise of the glory of his grace which he bestowed on us. God the Father chose us and gave us to the Son so that he could reveal the Father to us. This passage of Scripture reveals the Father to the disciples. I have manifested your name to the men whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. The Father chose them and gave them to the Son, and the Son manifested the Father's name to them. The responsibility of Jesus was to reveal the character of the Heavenly Father. The Father's name is revealed. What was Jesus busy doing while he ministered on the earth? He was revealing the Father. He was busy doing the Father's will according to John chapter 5, verses 17 through 29. And all that we see in Jesus is of God. Our attention is focused on the eternal God. The word manifest in the original language means to reveal, to make known, to show, to make visible and clear. Jesus was teaching, revealing, and making clear the character of his Father. Literally, Jesus was making known the Father's name to them. I manifested your name to the men whom you gave me out of the world, in verse 6. The name stands for the whole revealed character of the Lord God. To refer to the name of God is another way to refer to God himself. The name is representative of the Godhead and says, this is what God is really like. It reveals the whole nature, the character of the person, inasmuch as it can be known. Jesus had been entrusted with the revelation of God as he is. We find this in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. God spoke to us in his Son, and he is the radiance of his glory, the exact representation of his nature. Jesus Christ reveals the essential nature of God to men, not in an indiscriminate manner, but to those whom God gave to Jesus. John chapter 6, verse 37. these disciples were the elect of the Father, who gave them to the Son to reveal to them the essential character of God. The Son came to reveal to us what the Father is like. We know what God the Father is like when we look at the Son. The Son resembles the Father. Do you want to know what the Father is like? Examine closely the detailed character and attributes of Jesus Christ. Jesus told Thomas, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me," in John chapter 14, verse 6. And then he immediately responded to a question by Thomas, saying, "He who has seen me has seen the Father. How do you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak of my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me." Verses 9 through 11. Jesus prayed, "Father," and he taught the disciples to pray, "Our Father." We come to him praying, "Father, Abba, Father, our Heavenly Father." And not until Jesus came did the believers call God directly, "My Father." Jesus always called God, "Father, my Father," in all of his prayers. The one exception is when Jesus was being made sin and dying as our substitute on the cross in Matthew chapter 27, verse 46, when he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Spiritual knowledge is the fruit of receiving and truly understanding that Jesus Christ came from the Father. It is by believing on him that we have eternal life. In John chapter 17, verse 8, Jesus says, "The words which you gave me, I have given to them." And Jesus Christ is the final and complete revelation of God to men. The Holy Spirit takes the words of Jesus and cuts through the hardness of our hearts and brings conviction of sin and spiritual life. Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life, and does not come into judgment, but is passed out of death into life." Jesus was simply doing what the Father was doing. He was revealing the giver of eternal life, and this new life he gives is a miracle. The Apostle Paul described it as raising the dead. All things come new. Lost sinners are saved by the application of God's word to the individual by the Holy Spirit. It is the power of God unto salvation. The Holy Spirit uses the words of Jesus to convict us of sin, righteousness, and judgment. The words Jesus is referring to in John chapter 17, verse 8, is the God-given message he proclaimed. He was the embodiment of the message itself. He is the word he proclaimed. The stress is on divine revelation, and the essential is the words which you gave me and the response to it. The disciples received, truly understood, believed in verse 6. The religious leaders rejected the revelation of God in Jesus Christ. On the other hand, the disciples come to know and to know of a certainty that Jesus was the divine origin, that he came from the Father. The disciples accepted the fact that Jesus came from the Father and believed that you did send me. This is the essential message he proclaimed. This is what the Father is like, and they have come to believe that the Father sent Christ. John brings his gospel to a grand climax with the words in John chapter 20, verses 27 through 31. "And then he said to Thomas, 'Reach here your finger and see my hands, and reach here your hand and put it into my side. And do not be unbelieving, but believing.' And Thomas answered and said to him, 'My Lord and my God.' And Jesus said to him, Because you have seen me and have believed, blessed are they that did not see and yet believed. And therefore, many other signs Jesus also performed in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in His name. The elect of God have believed on the Son. They have kept His word, is the declaration of Jesus. The disciples proved truly belong to God the Father by believing on Jesus Christ. They kept Jesus' word. In John chapter 17, verse 8, Jesus says, Not only did He give the words to the disciples, but they have received them and truly understood that I came forth from Thee, and they believe that Thou sent me. They accepted God's word, believing that Jesus Christ is God's only beloved Son. And when we obey God's word, we listen to it preached, we receive it into our hearts and know it to be from God, and we believe on Jesus personally. In the parable of the sower, Jesus makes it clear that some will hear only words, and it will pass over their heads and fall to the ground. The message must be received into the mind and become a part of our thinking and settle down into our personal being. God communicates to us through His preached word that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He has come from the Father to give eternal life to all who believe on Him. Specifically, Jesus said, Now they have come to know that everything you have given me is from you, for the words you gave to me I have given to them, and they have received them, and truly understood that I came forth from you, and they believed that you did send me. Emphatically, Jesus says they recognize the source of His message as being from God. Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the Lamb of God, the suffering servant of God who came to die as our substitute. They believed you have sent me, Jesus said. And based upon what they have learned, they have made a personal commitment of themselves to Jesus Christ. How do you know that you are of the elect of God? Jesus said, You are if you have kept my word. In verse 6, the word for obey or kept means literally to pay attention to or observe. They have kept the word in their hearts and obeyed it. We do this when we observe the traffic light at the intersection or the stop sign. We hear the word of God, understand it, and believe it to the point it changes our behavior. The Holy Spirit takes the spoken word and applies it to our hearts. This is the miracle of the new birth when we are born spiritually. We kept His word because of this change in our hearts. Jesus said of those who were elect of God, given to the Son, heard His word and believed that they kept your word. Have you believed on God as revealed in the person of Jesus Christ? Have you committed your life to Him? Have you seen the Father? Has the living word of God come alive in your heart? It is giving evidence in your life that you are a child of God. And you can know that you are a Christian. The evidence is in the fact that you have believed the truth about Jesus Christ and are continually acting upon it. His word will bear fruit in your life if you trust Him. If you are of the elect, you will believe and continue to believe in the obedience to His word. Is God your Father? In a lesser sense than that uniqueness of Jesus to the Father, we can call Him our Father. He was the Son of God in a unique one-of-a-kind type of experience. He is our Father because of our adoption into His family. When we believed on Jesus Christ as our personal Savior in Romans chapter 8, verses 15 through 17, He is the Father of all who believe on Christ. The disciples have persevered in keeping the word. I like the application James Boyce makes. You need not fear that the great God of the universe, the one who owns and controls all things, will let you down, that He will disappoint you or turn His back on you. This God clothes the lily of the field and the grass. Will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Is God your Father? If He is, He will preserve you to the end and will not permit anything to happen in your relationship with Him. You may disgrace Him. You may be unworthy of your high calling. You may run away from Him as Jonah did, but He will still be your Father. In John chapter 17, verse 8, Jesus presents the salvation experience from the believer's perspective. He focuses on our ministry of teaching the disciples and their believing on Him as sent from the Father. And He has revealed to the disciples the words the Father gave to Him, and they have received them as coming from God. On the basis of His teaching, the disciples know He has come from the Father, and they have believed on Him as the one sent from God. And this is the same challenge He gives to each of us. In John chapter 7, verse 17, Jesus said, "If anyone is willing to do His will, he will know of His teachings, whether it is of God or whether I speak from myself." And when we recognize that Jesus' teachings come from God, we also recognize that He came from God. Jesus' response will still be the same to us as it was to those believers. "And now they have come to know that everything You have given Me is from You." Our salvation is as secure as the integrity of our Savior. Our salvation is a gift of the Trinity. Those whom the Father chose, the Son redeemed, and the Holy Spirit quickens and gives life. A.W. Pink said, "If a single one of God's elect were to perish, the glory of the perfect servant would be tarnished for all eternity." How absolute, then, is our security. Our salvation is not in what we know, but in whom we trust. Yes, it is true that there are some essential things we must know accurately, but there is great comfort and encouragement in this passage of Scripture for weary pilgrims. It is evident that the Lord sees far more in His believing people than they see in themselves or that others see in them. The least degree of faith is very precious in His sight. Our Heavenly Father is pleased that we should know Him in love, know Him as the Father, know Him according to the words of Him who has come out of His bosom. It is not the graces that adorn us or the services that we render, but simply that we know the Father. It is this which distinguishes the saint from the world and gives our standing in the presence of the Father. So perfectly did Jesus complete the work the Father gave Him to do that He could say, "He that has seen Me has seen the Father." Have you seen the Father? Have you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone for your salvation? Our salvation is appropriated by faith in Jesus Christ. "But as many as receive Him, to them He gave the right to become the children of God, even to those who believe in His name, who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God." May the Lord's richest blessings be yours today.